I want you to open your Bibles with me, please, in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter number 1. 1 Timothy, chapter 1. Commencing to read at verse number 1. 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables or endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some have swerved, having turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And God himself will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word, for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want to speak upon verse number 15 this evening, a familiar text of Scripture. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. My subject this evening is a Savior for nobody but sinners. A Savior for nobody but sinners. Some 52 years ago this month, I was gloriously and wonderfully saved. On the 4th of June 1957, a little boy called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thank God I was saved. For some of the older generation, perhaps you remember the late Mr. Edmund Sanford. He was this Christian Workers Union evangelist. Used to preach around the countryside. He used to have a little concertina, sing hymns with that little concertina, and then he would preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And as I listened to him preaching, I was concerned. I had a faithful Sunday school teacher, Joan Waters, who faithfully Sunday after Sunday opened the Scriptures to me. And as she opened the Scriptures, she not only told me with the rest of our Sunday school class, the realities of life and death, the realities of heaven and hell, the reality that Jesus Christ himself was coming again. And once again, I was concerned. I remember going to bed at night as a little child. I remember praying a prayer. I said, "Oh, please, God, don't let me die tonight, for I'm not ready to go." I remember thinking about the second coming of Jesus. And I remember praying this prayer, "Oh, God, don't let Jesus come tonight, for I am not ready. I'm not ready to go." And friend, what God was doing was by His Holy Spirit, God was working upon my heart. And then something wonderful happened as I listened to the gospel preached. The Spirit of God opened my understanding. The Spirit of God opened my blinded eyes to the reality that there was a wonderful Savior from sin. And I heard that I need not perish. For Jesus Christ, God's Son, had died for sinners, and I knew, because it was written in my heart by the Spirit of God, that I was a sinner, and when I heard that Christ died for sinners, I knew that that meant that Christ died for me. And I want us to come to this lovely gospel text this evening. This is a faithful saying, and it's worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The gospel simply means good news. We live in a world of so much bad news, so many tragedies that are happening in the world. We hear the news of the financial crisis that went right across the world. And the financial markets seem to collapse overnight. We think of family crises, and we know that many families are in crisis as their families corrode and collapse, even all around them. We think of the famines in the world, and once again, whilst you and I have plenty and sit at the table of plenty, there are many people tonight that are going to bed, or perhaps lying down upon the ground, not having enough food to sustain them through another day. In truth, we got more than one day that they got in perhaps a whole week or maybe even a month. I wonder, have you ever heard something being said, you know, that's too good to be true? How many times have we heard something? And friend, whenever we thought for a moment that it was good news, then finally at the end of it all, we found that our hopes were dashed. And our castles crumbled, and we were left disappointed and distressed and depressed. But thank God the gospel is good news. It is really good news that will never disappoint souls of men and women. For here we have a summary of what the gospel is here in this verse, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. There are five simple things I want you to notice in this verse. First of all, there's the credibility of the text. Notice these opening words. This is a faithful saying. This is a faithful saying. You know, Paul, whenever he is writing to Timothy and also to Titus, you will find that he emphasizes this reality. This is a faithful saying. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, if you look in verse number 1, it says this, "This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work." Go to chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, verse number 9. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation." Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 11. "It is a faithful saying. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him." Go over to Titus, the little book of Titus, following on from 2 Timothy. In Titus chapter 3, in the verse number 8. "This is a faithful saying." And so therefore, over and over again, we find that Paul is emphasizing this is a faithful saying. In other words, tonight as I preach the gospel of this good news, friend, this great fact, it's true. It is a faithful saying. It is a true saying. It is something that you can absolutely be sure of. You can totally depend upon the saying that has come from God Himself. You have no fear in accepting what is in this verse of God's Word, because under God it is a faithful saying. You know, over the centuries, men have, they've hewn out empty cisterns that cannot hold water. I think of the great Bob Ingersoll, who berated Christianity and mocked and scoffed the Bible. And yet when he stood at the graveside of his brother, he lamented. He lamented the utter hopelessness and the blackness of death and of eternity to the infidel. Because, friend, they had nothing. They had absolutely nothing. B.H. Carroll, in his testimony, called My Infidelity and What Became of It. He tells how that he went to the jumping off place on all roads of philosophy and unbelief, only to find that they offered no comfort to a broken heart, no satisfaction to a troubled mind, no peace or no hope to the human breast. Then let me tell you, all the philosophies of the world tonight have got absolutely nothing to offer those that are without Christ and without hope. The world will offer you plenty. But friend, in its finality, they'll deliver you nothing, because what they deliver will not last. And all that man has promised the human race has brought deception for a while, and then finally disillusionment and empty hearts. Turn, for example, to the book of Proverbs. Let us just look at two things. In the book of Proverbs, it's a book, whenever Solomon is giving to us statements, little statements, but they're powerful statements. What you find in the book of Proverbs is a father speaking to a son. And a father wants to give to a son the best possible advice. And he's speaking about a woman. And it says in Proverbs chapter 5, let's read it in verse number 1. My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldst ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. Lest thou shalt give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof. How many a young man, let me tell you, my friend, and he thought that he could go after a strange woman, somebody who was not his wife, and he turned his back on his own wife, and he turned his back upon his own family, and he looked to another woman, a strange woman. And here the father is warning his son. He said, listen, you may find her words smoother than oil. You may find that her lips are like a honeycomb. But you remember this, my son. Her end is bitter as wormwood. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. How many have been promised joy in that ungodly, unfruitful relationship? And the devil promised that's the place. And they've turned their eyes from their own loved ones and their own families and have gone after the strange woman friend because the devil promised them it would be sweetness, but it turned bitter. The devil told them that it would be like heaven, and yet it was like hell. You see, the devil's promises are not faithful. Because at the last, thou shalt mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. Look again in the book of Proverbs. Look at Proverbs chapter 23. In Proverbs chapter 23, there's a familiar and passage of God's word. If you go down to verse 29, what does it say there? Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babblings? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last, it biteth like a serpent, it stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. You see how many young men have gone after alcohol? How many a young man has lifted the first glass, friend, because he believed that it would bring him happiness? He believed that somehow it would make him one of the boys. That it would bring him some joy in his life because he thought that was the thing to do. That's what the world says. And yet here's a father and he's speaking to his son and he's begging his son, look not thou when the wine when it is red. Because at the last it biteth like a serpent, and it stingeth like an adder. Though the carcasses that have been strewn across the path of time, friend, because they heeded not the faithful saying. This is a faithful saying. You see, what God is saying to you tonight, dear man or woman in the service, concerning your soul, it's a faithful saying. God is being faithful to you. Maybe you don't want to hear. Maybe you want to close your ears to what God is saying, friend, but I guarantee you, here's the credibility of the text. It's a faithful saying from God. You can believe it. You can depend upon it. Secondly, notice the context, the content of the text. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world. There's the content of the text. Christ Jesus came into the world. Now, friend, that's a significant statement. Notice the words. Christ Jesus came. He came into the world. You know, in those words, who came? Christ Jesus. He came into the world. I believe there we have the pre-existence of Christ, the one who said in John 8, verse 58, before Abram was, I am. You see, he came into the world. He did not start at Bethlehem. Oh yes, he was born of a virgin. But he did not begin his existence at Bethlehem because he was from all eternity. To all eternity. He is the eternal Son of the eternal Father. Christ Jesus came into the world. There's the real content of the text. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning the Word was. And friend, let me tell you, it says, the same was in the beginning with God. Christ Jesus, the Son of God, did not begin at Bethlehem, praise God. He was the eternal Son away back in eternity. He was in the bosom of the Father. And there away back, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they dwelt triune God in perfect harmony. But who came? The Bible says, Christ Jesus. What does the word Christ mean? Anointed one. Jesus, what does it mean? Savior. Who came into the world? The anointed Savior came. You see, before the world was formed, friend, the Father anointed Christ to the office of the Savior. He did not come on sent. He did not come on commission. He came with the authority of heaven. He came with the authority of the Father. Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. I was thinking, you know, when I was meditating upon this, the high priestly prayer of our Lord and Savior. Just turn for a moment to John's Gospel, chapter 17. And I was thinking, you know, Christ Jesus came into this world, but he came from heaven. He came from eternity. He came from glory. And in John's Gospel 17, notice what he says. Go to verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And then he said this, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou givest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I think that's a lovely statement. Old people tell us that Jesus Christ only began at Bethlehem. They're liars. People tell us that Jesus Christ is just a creation, a creature. He's not God. Jesus Christ in this high priestly prayer, verse number 5, answers all of that. O Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Before God ever hung this world in its place, friend. Before God Almighty ever put a star in the sky. Before God ever put the sun or the moon there. The Son was. The Lord Jesus Christ was. He said, before Abraham was, I am Jehovah. Jehovah God. You know, the Bible also tells us that he humbled himself and took upon himself the form of a servant. Just turn over to Philippians chapter 2. And Philippians chapter 2 says this in verse number 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. What it means there is this. It wasn't something you have to grasp after. Why? Because he was God. He didn't grasp after being God. He was God. Verse 7. But made himself of no reputation. Took upon him the form of a servant. That's it, friend. Christ Jesus came into the world. And coming into this world, he took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Christ Jesus came. Thank God he came. And the Bible says he came into the world. This world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. This world that's an enemy of God, and yet Christ Jesus stepped out of the glories of heaven. And he came down and humbled himself and took upon himself the form of a servant made in the likeness of man. I was telling them in the Bible class this morning, whilst it's true that the Holy Spirit leaves no footprints in the sand, Yet Jesus did. He walked upon this earth. The disciples were able to touch him, and he to touch them. He walked the shores of Galilee. And as he walked in the dusty pathway across the shores and the sand, his footprint was left in the sand. And then the water would come in and wash it away. But I want to tell you, friend, he came. Thank God he did. He came to where we were, where we are. He came into this world. That's the content. Notice the claim here in the text. Number three. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Why did he come? Lord Jesus, why did you step out of the glory? Lord, why did you leave the adorations of the heavenly hosts and the angels worshiping and praising thee? Why did you leave the Father and the blessed Holy Spirit and come down and humble yourself and take upon you the form of a servant? The answer is very clear here. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 10, puts it like this. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Put them together, friend. He came to save lost sinners. He came seeking. He came to save that which was lost. He didn't come to be a great teacher, although never man spake like this man. He didn't come primarily to be our example, although it is true that those who are saved are to follow him. He says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. But why did he come, friend? He came to save that which was lost. I remember a wee chorus used to sing at the children's meeting. He did not come to judge the world. He did not come to blame. He did not only come to seek, but it was to save. He came. One thing always sits out of my memory. We Mrs. Spears down in Castle Dawson. Remember singing that? A group of us went whenever she was ill. We went to her house and had a wee house meeting. And we're singing back the old choruses of the past. And when we call him Savior, then we call him by his name. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sin. Thank God that's the good news. There is a Savior. His name is Christ Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, the man of Calvary, the one who stepped out of the glory to die upon a cross, to shed his precious blood. Why did he do it? To save that which was lost. To save sinners. Sinners of all kinds and descriptions. You know, sometimes we talk about people, he's respectable. But he's not saved. We talk about somebody else and we say they're, you know, they really are bad characters. They're really people of disrepute. And yet they're sinners. We talk about people as being up and out. We talk about people as being out of down and out. We talk of others as dropouts. Isn't that what God says, friend? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of it all. He came to save sinners without qualification. You know, there are those tonight who think they're too bad to be saved. There are those that think they're too good to be saved. There are those that think they're too hard to be saved. Friend, if you're a sinner tonight, if you confess that you're a sinner, then the Bible says He came to save sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Some years ago, D.L. Moody was preaching. The great American preacher, in one of his great evangelistic meetings, and he was speaking, there was an old drunkard listening to Moody as he was preaching and pressing in the gospel into his soul. Spirit of God was driving it home. Making the appeal at the end of it, Moody said, "Sinners, won't you come and receive Jesus Christ as Savior?" And the old drunkard was sitting there and he gripped the pew and he cried out in the midst of the meeting, "I can't! Preacher, I can't come!" Moody says, "You can. You can come! Come and welcome to Jesus!" And he cried again, "I can't! Can't come." But he says, "Man, why can't you come?" He says, "I can't come, for I'm chained. I have a ball and a chain on me and I can't come." And Moody cried out, "In God's name, man, pick up the ball and chain and bring it to Jesus. And thank God he saved you. He came to seek and to save that which was lost." He didn't come to show us how to save ourselves, friend. He didn't come to help us to save ourselves. He didn't come to save us in part and then leave the rest to us. The Bible says in this passage of God's Word, this is a faithful saying, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And if you're honest before God and you say, "I'm a sinner," then thank God I have good news for you. Because Christ Jesus came into the world to save that which was lost. Remember the silver that was lost? Do you remember the sheep that was lost? But thank God there was a son that was lost. But praise God he was found. You know, the gospel has done many wonderful things, but I'll tell you this. He didn't come to raise the status of womanhood, although thank God through the preaching of Christianity and the gospel that has happened. He didn't come to do away with slavery, although I thank God that those who have been redeemed by His precious blood, friend, thank God they were at the forefront of fighting slavery. He didn't come to give us education and take away our ignorance, although, my friend, the influences of Christians within society has done that very thing and brought education to those that were in ignorance. We had a greater need than any of those things. And Christ Jesus came to meet that need. He came to seek and to save. Listen to this. Those that were lost. Sinners. Nobody else. He says in Luke's Gospel 5, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repent." Thank God for Mary Magdalene. A poor lost sinner, and thank God Jesus came to save him. Thank God he came to save a man called Jerry McCauley that was a down and out, a drunkard. And thank God, God changed his life completely. He took a man down the years, a man called Mel Trotter. And thank God he came to save Mel. Changed his life. Then let me tell you, this is a message for the monarch and the beggar. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. But here's the confession in the text, fourthly, very quickly. Notice what it says in the end. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. There's a confession. Of whom I am chief. Now, Paul, let me tell you, you read Philippians chapter 3 and you'll find that Paul had a very religious past. And yet he was an enemy of Jesus Christ. Look at this passage, 1 Timothy. And look what it says there in verse 13, 1 Timothy 1:13. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. Yes, he was religious. But he also was all of those things. And then he said this. But I obtained mercy. Isn't that lovely? But I obtained mercy. And tonight I want to tell you, I have good news for you. If you're willing to take your place as a lost sinner, friend, I want to tell you, glory to God, He'll save you. Look at verse 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant. It was exceeding abundant, the grace of God. For God took someone who was a blasphemer and injurious to the cause of Christ, yes, and a persecutor, and God changed his life completely. Some years ago, J.R. Rice was preaching, and a cultured woman was sitting in the congregation. She came to him afterwards, very distressed. In actual fact, not only was she very distressed, she was very indignant about what the preacher had said. And as the preacher talked to this very cultured lady, he was pressing on her the great need of God's salvation for her soul. And she said to him, you know, Mr. Rice, I want to tell you, I give to the poor. Don't you talk to me like that. You don't know about me. I give so much to the poor. In actual fact, she says, Mr. Rice, I visit the sick. And I go around the community, and when people are sick and aged and infirmed, you'll find me there. And I want to tell you something else, Mr. Rice. I'm a loyal wife. I'm loyal to my husband. I've never let him down. I've never looked at another man. I'm loyal to my husband. And I'll tell you something else about me. I have lived as a sacrificial mother because I've done without myself to get to my children. And yet how dare you tell me that I'm a sinner? How dare you tell me that I am unsaved and on my way to hell just the same as everyone else? Mr. Rice pressed upon her the necessity of the new birth again and told her she needed salvation just the same as the drunkard. And she said, Mr. Rice, I despise that. I am a good woman. Mr. Rice looked at her. He said, Madam, then you can go on to hell. Because Jesus Christ didn't die for good women. He only died for sinners. And man, if you're boasting your good works, now, let me, you can go on to hell. You can just go on to hell. You'll find out how rotten you are. Because I want to tell you, this Bible tells me that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Just like you and me, of whom I am chief. And here's my last thought, and I'm through. The conclusion of the text. We left a wee statement out, didn't we? This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Friend, it's worthy to be received. Thank God it's worthy for you to take tonight and take hold of. You can depend upon it. You can stand upon it. You can test it. Glory to God. Jesus Christ is worthy of all acceptation. And this faithful saying is this. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Will you come to Him? as many as received him. To them give you the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. Will you take God at his word tonight, friend? You know, the old devil will come with his doubts and fears and tell you this, that, and the other. The devil's a liar. The devil's a liar. The devil's a murderer. He wants to destroy your joy and your happiness and your peace in Christ. Away with his lies. Away with his deception. He has deceived us long enough. Take the word of God in your hand, friend, and stand upon the promise of God and believe the word of God. Here is a faithful saying, and it's worthy of all acceptation. For Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Thank God he came to save me. Of whom? And Jesus. May God save you tonight. For Jesus' sake. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the simplicity of it. We thank you, Lord, it's just simple. It's very clear. God, you have provided a remedy for our sin. Oh God, there's power in the blood of the Lamb to cleanse us and make us clean. Take a man who was a blasphemer, Lord, and cleanse him. Make him praise the Lord that once he blasphemed. A man that was injurious and injured the people of God and was a persecutor, Lord, and you changed him. And he started preaching the gospel of the Christ he once blasphemed. But I obtained mercy. The grace of God was exceeding abundant. Lord, you can do that for men and women in this meeting tonight. Lord, you can change them. Lord, they've been trying for years to change themselves and they can't do it. Lord Jesus, you came to save them. You came to change them. Please, God, give them grace tonight to just throw themselves upon me. They might cry out, God, save me. I perish. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed for him. Meeting will be open in a moment. Will you let the Lord change you? Will you let the Lord save you, friend? Save you from sin. Save you from wrath. Save you from hell. I save you from yourself. You ask him to save you. Lord, save me. I perish. That's why he came. To save that which is lost. So every head is bowed and God's people are praying for him. We sing a little verse of that hymn, Just As I Am. If there's one in this meeting tonight, you say, Preacher, tonight God has made it clear. In the simplicity of the word. Yes. This saying is worthy of all acceptation. I'm going to take God at his word tonight. I'm going to stand upon his word tonight. I'm just going to trust him. O Lamb of God, I come. Backslider, come on back there. Child of God, pray for sinners tonight. And for backsliders. Sinner, come to Jesus. Thank God he's come to save you. We are lost. Lift that hand above your head as we sing. Indicate that desire. Preacher, here's my hand toward heaven.